love that song. Just thinking about how good God has been to me, and you know, just want to get up and give Him some praise. And I was driving here tonight, and my dad, y'all know how much I love my dad. He was struggling getting his car fixed. His brake was frozen, but I guess he went golfing today anyway. He worked on it all day the other day, couldn't get it fixed. But he had an appointment, so he went ahead and did that. And when he was coming back home, he ran over a speed bump, and it unfroze. And I just, you know, I chuckled about that. I just thought, Lord, thank you so much for touching my dad's car to get him home safe, you know. And I just, little things like that, God has done that for me my whole entire life. And I'm just so thankful. But the first song that we were singing tonight, I have a funny story about that. When I was in high school, there was a young girl that we kind of had to babysit, and she would come home with me on the bus or whatever. And her mom was like a super Christian and very, very strict, which my parents were too. But she had a cassette tape of Jimmy Swagger. You guys, all the people probably remember him. And he had that song on there. But if you played the cassette tape, it was not Jimmy Swagger. She had taped over it. And I, you know, every now and again, that memory comes back to me. Like, I don't have to fake it. I know who I am. God loves her too. She'll be there. But I just, because of that, because I don't have to fake it, I've got the word in my life that guides and directs me. And you know, tomorrow I have to go to trial. A friend of mine, I have to testify for her. She's going through a really bad divorce. And if it wasn't for this word, who knows where I would be? Right. You know, my other friend that, you know, because I don't give up on people, and they'll all be there anyway. But, you know, she's a child of alcoholics, and she's labeled herself with all of these things and still goes through trauma and experiences. Young kids, you kids are here, you are so blessed to have parents that love you enough to bring you to church and correct you when you need it. You need to listen to them. But I'm just thankful that I had the mom and dad that I have, and I'm here. I went on a field trip on Sunday, so I went to my daughter's church. Because I want to get out. You know, this is actually the first time I'd ever been to her church. She's actually a deacon there. She was 24 years old and was the first woman deacon at their church, if that tells you anything. That was about 5 years ago. But that's because of the leadership she got from her dad from here. You know, and it cracks me up. All churches are different, and every pastor is different. And I have so many people from my family that want me to go to that church. You know, and I'm like, there is no way that I'm going to go 10 minutes down the road from my house, see my grandkids. I could get to see my grandkids there, but I can't. I have to come here. This is my pastor, my flock, and just watching Pastor on the Philippines. Oh my gosh, just it's God, how God is working. But to be able to be here, and I'm just thankful, and I love it.
Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. It says key of F, actually. What a friend we have. I need help.
What a privilege. carry everything into God in prayer.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege just to
we often forfeit.
Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh,
we often forfeit.
Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh,
let's bow our heads.
Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity tonight to get together amongst believers and just fellowship and worship in the truth. Lord, we come to you tonight as humble, just saints, excited for just a couple of moments in time that we get to share in this beautiful sanctuary and just worship in the truth. Lord, there's prayer requests that have been spoken and unspoken. Lord, remember Sister Renee as she goes to trial. Remember the brothers that are traveling back from the Philippines. Lord, remember Sister Anna's eyes. Lord, I won't be satisfied. Lord, remember Brother Trevor. Remember the Brinkmans. Remember Sister Kara. Lord, just remember the bride body. Remember Sister Clarice's eyes as well, Lord. Lord, and just bless the service. Remember the hearer and the speaker out of the way so that way we can just worship you in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Yep. Pastor Moore and Brother Doug said hello. They're on their way to Japan. Ah, so Japan and then here. That's a long journey. God bless our brothers. As you can see, they've been working. We've been looking at the pictures and the videos, and those guys are putting in that work, so appreciate them doing that. They're representing us, and we're representing them here. So we're going to do our part. Speaking of doing their parts, let's give a round of applause for Brother Skyler. Appreciate him getting up and doing that. And, you know, what I love about it is just the fact that, you know, I've been doing song leading for a long time, Brother Skyler. I've messed up 1,000 songs, so don't ever let Satan get in your head about that junk. But what you saw was that you had ability to trust the body to catch you, right? You start off and whatever, and we got you. And you know, you can hold on to a bunch of junk and get your mind around a bunch of things that you think you got to do, what it might be like Just jump out there and let God have it, and He'll catch you every time. You know, they'll catch you every time. So if you honor God, what He said to do, He's obligated to see you through. You know, He didn't say you had to learn all the songs and sing them. He just said, get up and be an example, help out. And God will do that for you. I've seen it all the way through. I mean, we can talk about natural examples. You don't have to buy a lawnmower to cut the grass at the church. There's one already there. You don't even have to buy the gas. It's already provided. You don't have to go get toilet paper and tissues to clean the church. It's already provided. The vacuum's provided. God will provide you with whatever you need. Just trust Him and just go out on it. And you got to do that even with the Word of God when it's preached. Just trust God that it's going to work and you apply it. You know, you can do that. You know, I see that with, you know, my kids, and I see that in my life. You just got to trust God when He gives you the instructions to do something. Trust Him to do it, you know, and that's how it works. And, you know, I've been guilty of tons of times of messing up things and doing this thing wrong and all that kind of stuff. But you just got to trust God that He's going to take care of it in His timing and He'll get it done. So I'm grateful for that. I'm looking forward to what we're going to preach tonight and appreciate, you know, all the testimonies. And, you know, that Brother Lockett said that true oneness, you know, that oneness is because God lives in me. That's the oneness. You know, the whole church world has it all messed up. They've got it separated in threes or in the twos or in fives or in sevens or whatever they want to do. They've got a hierarchy, but it's not a hierarchy. God didn't want a hierarchy. He wanted to be in man. He wanted to live as one. He wanted to fellowship, you know, and He wanted to be in all, through all, you know. So even when it says when we get over there, that's how it's going to be. God all in all. So that's how He wants it. So, you know, the only form of eternal life, Brother Jeremiah preached that, talked about how even in the token, Brother Branham said, the only form of eternal life is God's own life. So when you start claiming eternity, there's got to be a tie to something that you got to be tied back into God's own life. So I appreciate that understanding. You know, Brother Jeremiah, you preached about hope in this life and the life to come. Talk about that resurrection story. You talked about, you know, how Job said his Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Amen. You know, it's a great thing to hear Brother Job talk about those things. That's my brother. But I've got to be able to see that in myself. You know, Job saw it through the plants. I saw it through Jesus Christ. I saw that, you know, they go down and come. I saw Him come back up. You know, so I look at that and I'm thanking God for that. And I wanted to start there. And we're going to start over in Job chapter 19, verse 25. And 27, we'll read that, and then we'll get started as we go along. You know, I even like how even this was written. You know, Brother Jeremiah, he was reading through this, and I went back through there, and I loved how it even was written. It said, you know, this is Job over in verse, we'll start at verse 23, and we'll get down through it. But it says, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. And Job, they're printed in a book, Job. We got you. We heard you. He said that they were graven with an iron pen and lead and a rock forever. Yeah. Amen. I love this. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. I'll see Him. You know, the church world wants to over-spiritualize it, all that stuff. No, I will see God in my flesh. And I'm seeing Him right now. Right. You know, as I look around here, I see God in flesh. Amen. I have to see God in flesh. Yeah. To recognize that God's in me, I got to see Him in somebody else. That's right. That's the only way it works. See, a lot of times people, you know, we say get the cart before the horse. They think that they're going to see God in themselves and then see Him in somebody else. Right. It does not work that way. Right. You have to see God in somebody else. Right. And then that person will show you the God that's in you. Right. You'll get the revelation from the preaching. You know, because sometimes people think, I'm going to study it up. I'm going to read it up. And like even Brother Warren talked about reading those books and doing those kind of things. Do you know what, Brother Warren? The grammar tripped up a lot more people than your brother you. Yeah, there were people that got tripped up by Brother Childers' grammar. There's people that got tripped up by Brother Branham's grammar. They said branch water and soda crackers. What is that? What is this? What is that? Yeah, they got tripped up by the grammar. But what? Go talk to it a little bit more. Keep reading a little bit. Amen. See what he says about the word. Don't worry about the analogies that you may not be able to follow. Just follow the word of God. It'll get you through it. Just stay right there. You know what? Sometimes the foolishness of preaching is what confounds them out there. Oh, maybe I stutter and sputter and spit and do all that, but just stick with the word a little bit. Sit still long enough to let that revelation wake up that germ seed that's inside of you, and it'll give you a revelation that'll confound the wise and the prudent, and it revealed it unto babes such would learn. Oh, I don't come in here thinking I know it all, I got it all. I come here as a babe saying, Lord, teach me, give me. I want that revealed to me. Why? Because I know that my Redeemer lives, and I want to be a part of that such eternal story. Amen. Oh, my. We get so much preaching in here that I think you forget how crazy the world really is. You come in here and get a sanity that you don't even understand. You come in here and get such common sense that you almost think it's normal. But it's not normal. What we get in here is not normal. The teaching that we get in here, the leadership that we get in here, the rest that you get in here, the peace that you get in here. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. We can take everything to God in prayer. Oh, but see, the church world will have you wanting to pray internally. Church world will have you wanting to do. No, I like to pray out loud. I like to talk to God with skin on him. If I'm going through something, I want to say, Lord, help me. Lip to ear. See, because see, they'll have you, that's this neurotic age. They have you hiding so much stuff, you can't even be honest, can't even be who you are. You can't be a man if you're a man, can't be a woman if you're a woman. I'm not even just talking about gender. I'm just talking about taking the responsibility of what your job is supposed to be. To this church world to have you thinking that you can't even be corrected. They don't even want correction. I want correction. He said he will come in spirit and in truth. Truth is correction. Yes. He's got grace and truth. It's going to be grace and truth. Oh, you're going to have some truth in there. You want some correction. It wouldn't even be church without correction. Amen. You have to have correction. When I say my Redeemer lived, that's correction. Because I'm correcting all the doctors that puts God outside of you. I'm correcting everything that makes God up here. I'm putting God in here. That's correction. That's letting you know that if he ain't in there, you don't know where he is. If you don't serve a real God, you don't serve God. That's correction. So I can even say my Redeemer live is correction. This church world, they don't want correction. They don't want anybody to tell them the truth. They want to hide in the darkness and be allowed to do whatever they want. They don't want anybody to tell them right from wrong. It's just gray. And even in the Bible it says, I would wish that you were either hot or cold. But since you're just lukewarm, I spew you out of my mouth. Amen. That's this neurotic age. It's just lukewarm and everything. They just burn me up all the time about different things, and I just got to let it go. Let it go. That's why I thank God for church. I thank God that we even get church in the middle of the week. Because the news will mess me up. It'll get me and my dander will get revved up. I will. I'll get upset because you see all the craziness of the world and then they don't have any common sense to fix anything. You know, you talked about that story about Brother Don about how, you know, the father did this, the grandson did that. They always used to say that if you don't raise your, if you're not a good parent, you'll have to be a grandparent that raises the kids. That's how that works. If your kid doesn't take correction, you're going to be raising that kid's kids. That's just how it works. I've seen it in my life. I see it with my brothers. I see my brothers that don't take correction. You know what my mom's got to do? Help them out. That's just me being honest. I ain't giving you no sugar-coated stuff. I'm telling you, when you don't take correction, you don't take leadership, you're destined to fail. Amen. That's just how this life works. You've got to have, everybody needs a boss. This whole world has got everybody thinking they can be the boss. No, you need a boss. Amen. I need a boss. I need headship. I need leadership. You got women thinking they don't need a boss. You got men thinking they don't need a boss. But that's not God's way. That's not his ordained way. It's leadership in there. But I look at all that, and like I said, it just gets my dander rolled up because I'm thinking, my goodness, why can't we just serve God in peace? But whatever, I digress. Let's get back to the word. You know, what would Sister Baker say? You done gone to meddling. You got to let it go. God is too good. You know, so that's all you got. You just stir it up a little bit just to get remind me back what I'm really here to do. What's your real job? Get the dead up. I'm not here to build an ark. I'm not here to part the sea. I'm not here to took down abortion clinics. I'm not here to get the political system together. I'm here to get the dead up. That's my job. Let me get my hammer and my saw and get back to work. That's what I'm here to really do. And that's what service reminds me of. It reminds me of what's really important, what I'm really here called to do. So when Brother Jeremiah was preaching about that, I thought, my goodness, I thank God I can see that my Redeemer lives. Yeah. By being able to see that he lives, it means that he won't ever die. That's right. Oh, because he had to raise up from the dead. And I praise God for that. Lordy, lordy, lordy. See, I'm going to read a scripture. Because you talk about having this hope, Brother Jeremiah. Where'd you get it from? How'd you get that hope? How do you have that hope for the life to come? Because the Bible says that if you only had hope for this life, you'd be all men most miserable. How'd you get that hope for the life to come? How do you know you're going to heaven? There's got to be something in the Word that lets me know that Jesus ain't the only one that's going to heaven. There's got to be something in the Word that ties back into me. Just like that eternal germ seed, there's got to be something in there that includes me. And if the seals have been opened, I should be able to open the whole book now. I should be able to look and see those love secrets that God has whispered me. Because I'm talking to believers tonight, you're going to be able to follow me. See, I'm going to turn over to John 3 and 13. And let's read this here. It says, every now and again, I see the verse before it, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I got to read that one, too. And then you look up and go, I read that one, too. Read that one, too. But I don't want to get all messed up. Let's just stay here. I'm going to look at verse 12 first, and then we'll go to verse 13. Because Jesus says, if I had told you earthly things, and you believe in me not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? He's talking to the world then. He's talking to they unbelievers. They didn't believe him. If he told them it was raining, they wouldn't believe him it was raining. They wouldn't believe him on earthly things, so how would he expect them to believe him on spiritual things? And he says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. Now, that's good. That's great. I'm glad Jesus is going. That's awesome. Even, see, I like how Pastor Moore even put that in there for us to let me see that. Because I skipped over that. Let's read this verse in its entirety. It says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So it's including him. Not only him, it includes him. Not just Jesus, but it includes the bride body. And Brother Branham even said over in the token, he said, God's going to pull a nation out of a nation. He pulled a church out of a church, that elect group of people. That's you and me. It includes me. When you're talking about who came from heaven, you're talking about me. You're talking about that germ seed of me that's God's own life that he foreordained before the foundation of the world that I would be there. So just like Jesus lives, I live also. Oh, my. See, you get that understanding, and the rest of this thing starts growing strangely dim. The problems of the world, the temporal things that go on, grow strangely dim when you get a revelation of that. Oh, my. See, you know, so this weekend we saw all the different stuff and the social media posts. My Redeemer lived. Christ is here. God is in me. I don't bit more trust that than a $3 bill. Because if God really is in you, what is he supposed to be doing right now then? What's his job right now? What is he supposed to be doing? And you know, see, in the church world will have you thinking, oh, it's just a prosperity message. This ain't no prosperity message. I don't care whether you have a job or you don't have a job. What are you doing when the Word of God crosses your path for right now? What are you doing when the Word of God is crossing your path for the hour that you're living in right now? What do you do with the Word? That's how we're going to judge whether or not Christ is living on you. Because it says he can't deny himself. Amen. He says he can't deny himself. God will never deny his Word. So as a believer, when I say Christ is in me, prove it by what I do with the Word. When the Word crosses my path, whether it cuts me or lifts me up or pushes me down, I say yay and amen. Amen. That's how you judge it. That's how you can see it. But the whole church world just throws out fancy terms because they pretend to love God. They just say, oh, yes, it was a great resurrection, great story, great this and that. It's just children's fables of people that have forgotten what God really is. They no serve God. They don't even want God. They don't even want God. And you say, well, Brother James, where are you getting at with this? When you preach them the Word of God, now, I understand there's going to be, I'm on one side of the fence here. I understand that there's foolish versions. I understand that there's going to be more people converted on that side than there were over here. So I got that balance. But there are pure unbelievers. There are people that do not want the Word of God. There are people that will spew the Word out of their mouth like vomit through your hands if you tried to shove it down their throat. They do not, they wouldn't give you a tinker for your token, and they could care less what you think. But on the inverse of that, there's a group of people that no matter what I got to do, if I got to drive an hour to get here, Sister Renee, past a church that has my whole family in it, I'm going to come to where the truth is. If I've got to fly to the Philippines to fellowship with believers, I'm going to go where the truth is. If I've got to come to a small church in Fairborn, Ohio on a Wednesday night, I'm going to come to where the truth is. I can't help it. There's just something on the inside of me that come hell or high water, I have a love for the truth. Amen. Oh, my. That's not pumped up. That's not battered up. That's nothing. It's God's own life that lives in me that does that. That's his life that's doing this. Oh, my. See, I love that. I love the fact that we know where God is. Now, see, Brother Jeremiah referenced the token. And I love that. Because Brother Branham even talked about that. And how this, that new birth, and I want to say it like this, because Brother Lockett even says it. He says, you must be born again. You know, Brother Jeremiah, you read it over in Corinthians or in Job on Sunday. You said that, you know, every man born of a woman is just but a few days full of trouble. Yeah, born of a woman. You must be born again. You must be born again. That showed that that first birth was only full of death and destruction. It had no life about it. It was never going to make it. It was not built for the journey. There had to be another life on the inside of you that was ready for the journey. And I love that because unless you're born again, none of this applies to you. None of this applies to you. But I look at that and I go, but God didn't do everything. That's what gets me a little more excited. God didn't do everything. God, even when he looked down and saw Noah, he saw somebody that would believe him. Believe his word when it was going to cross his path. Then when he sees that, he sets in motion everything to get Noah to get the job done. Yes, when he sees that you are going to receive his word, everything, all the provisions are provided. See, that's the part that you're responsible for. See, the church world has the cart before the horse. They think that God made you love him. No, I love the word irregardless. I had a love for the truth. He saw me love the truth. And the second it happened, that burned out that old nature. The second I agreed with the word, he said, Brother Branham even said, if he can get you to agree with the word just one time, it'll burn out that old nature. Why would he say if he can get you to agree with the word one time? Why wouldn't he say if I can get you to agree with the word 100 times? Why wouldn't he say if I can get you to come to 100 services in a row? Why wouldn't he say if I can get you to come to a Sunday night and a Wednesday night and then another Sunday night? If I can get you to agree with the word one time. Because he knew that without God's life in there, it was impossible for you to believe the word of God even one time. Oh, even one time. There's people that come in here and you see it. They walk away. They never had a love for the truth. I don't care what they tell you. I don't care how they sugarcoat it. They didn't have a love for the truth. That's just as simple as it is. Now, where there's breath, there's always hope. And I will hold out and I'll hold the door for anybody that wants to come in here. But the simple fact remains that if you can't love the truth, there is no life in you. That's just the simple nature of it. But the fact remains is that if you have a love for the truth, God, there's nothing that can change that. Oh, we talked about Brother Job. No matter what. See, and I love how even Brother Jeremiah talked about it. He said, do we let our lifestyle get in the way? Do we let this get in the way? Do we let that get in the way? You can't let anything get in the way. You can't even let yourself get in the way. See, all these other hurdles you think about, they're simple to get rid of. A job is easy to leave. A car is easy to walk away from. A house is easy to walk away from. A TV show is easy to pause. But to get over yourself, to come into the house of God, that takes a little something extra. That takes a little bit of a push. That takes an inside voice working out. Oh, because there's going to be times when you are tired. And that inside voice is going to say, I don't care. Get up. Get your butt to the house. I got something that needs to be fed. Oh, there's going to be times where you are broke, where you probably should be working right now. But that inside voice says, there's something more important than money right now. There's something that's going to feed my soul right now. I got to get to the house. What is that on the inside of you? That's God's own life saying, I'll take care of it. If you put me first, all these other things will be added to it. You have faith as a believer that God is obligated to keep his word. That's the truth. Oh, that's why Pastor Moore can get frustrated with people that are in and out, wishy-washy. That's why he can get frustrated. God can't depend on you. My God is dependable. Yeah. Oh, my God is dependable. And if you need correction, you need correction. That's right. If I procrastinate and I'm late, tell me to get on time. That's okay. That's fine. You can fix that. But don't let that keep you out of the house of God. You can be late every service, get rebuked every service, but still get to the house of God. Maybe you need a better watch. Maybe you need to ride somebody. Maybe you need to do a ride share. Maybe you need to tag along. Those are just principles that'll help you get along the way. Maybe you need to trust fall like Skylar did and say, "Buddy, I can't make it on my own. Won't you help me out a little bit? Won't you come pick me up because I can't seem to get there on time? Won't you make me dependent?" Just put some man principles in there. But I'm just saying that's just how this thing works. That's just how this thing works because this word is so important. You don't even realize that God is literally just speaking to you. Every single service, he's taken away all the... I've seen God come in here, and he takes away the mental issues that I'm dealing with. Takes away the anxiety that I'm dealing with. Oh, he takes away all the depression that you may be dealing with. All the problems that you... If you had a problem with your kids, God, Satan will try to rub that in there. Rub that in. Make it interrupt the service almost. And God will come in here, smooth that right out. Get that right together. He'll tell you how to handle that. You got issues with your boss or something, God will come in here and he'll preach a message on how to make sure you get your mind right. He'll show you how to do that. I mean, if you just listen to the word of God.
Yes.
And the beautiful thing about it is those are just temporal things that we get help on all the time. But what I'm really here for, I don't care about those temporal things. If me and my boss never get along, that will take care of itself. Either I'll leave, they'll leave, or I'll die, or they'll die. But either way, that will take care of itself. That's just like, that's the same thing with when people have drug issues or any of these other issues. They'll take care of themselves. It's still temporary. I come here for the eternal. I'm here for the eternal. I don't know anybody after temporary. I know you after the eternal. What do you do when the word crosses your path? That lets me know if God's still living in there. That lets me, and I even said that wrong. God is always, if God's in there, he's always there. Not still living in there, because that'll put doubt in there. That's how the church world preaches it. You can leave, God can come and go. God's a spirit that hovers. He can come and go. No, when he gets in there, he's in there. He's not moving. No, he's not looking for another house to go to. He's locking in. He's setting up residency in. He's sure about it. He's sure about it. Why is he so sure? Because he saw what you would do with the word. Amen. He said, look down there and saw Noah and said, Noah found favor.
Right.
By faith, he believed God at his word.
Right.
He didn't have to see God do anything. He believed God at his word.
Right.
Oh, my. That's what Job found. Job found favor with God because he just believed God. Just believed God. Yeah. Things started getting taken away. Cars, house, kids, friends. Yeah. Wife even wanted to kick back.
Come on.
Picking boils off his skin. At any point did he go, you know what? You're right. God is not God.
No.
Let's just curse him and die. No, still believe God.
Right.
Matter of fact, got closer. Saw when things were going haywire, he said, I know my Redeemer lives.
Amen.
I have a revelation. That's when Job basically got his revelation.
Yeah.
Is when he saw what was going on. He was free of all the hindrance, of all the distractions, and could just look there and look around and say, I see my Redeemer lives.
Yeah.
I see what happens with the trees. I see what happens with the plants. I see that they go down and they come back up. That is proof that my God is real.
Yeah.
Oh, my. And that's Job looking at the trees and the flowers. You've got believer after believer after believer. You've got testimony after testimony, service after service of God showing that he's real. I got more than just trees and flowers letting me know that God lives in here. I got a vindication by the word of God for the very hour that I live in. I can see all the way back. I can see all the way forward. Who else was talking about the millennium? Who else knows about the tribulation? Who else knows about taking your loved ones? Who else knows about predestination? Who else knows about the seals? Who else knows what hour it is? If you could live in any age, which age would you choose? Well, that means you at least need to know that there are ages. That at least means you need to know the difference between the ages. See how this is correction the whole way through. That means you got to even know that the seals have been opened to make this the golden age. If you can live in any age, Brother Branham, I'll ask the bride tonight, if you can live in any age, what age would you choose? This golden age.
where I know what it is. I can see God clearly for myself, not only in you, but in me. Oh, when you can see God in you, that changes everything. It changes everything. Oh, it should change everything in our life. So we got a real token, Brother Jeremiah. I know that my fare has been paid for real. Jesus really did pay it all. He really did pay it all. You know, we're blessed to be able to see God move in the body and do these different things and see the healings and all that good stuff. It is amazing, Brother Isaiah. It helps build our faith. Because we're going to, listen, we're human. And you know, we say this often, but we're going to poke each other. And I don't want to say it's right. It's not right. But it's going to happen. It's just going to happen. You know, we're as different as night and day sometimes. So it's going to happen. But that is no judgment on whether or not God lives in you. See, the church world will have you, and then I'll show you how they do it. They'll have you thinking that because somebody votes one way, that that person doesn't believe in God, or that they do believe in God, depending on how they vote. That don't matter. It has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it. Just the same as it has nothing to do with it, the Pope is not intercessory between you and God. It's the same amount of nonsense, the same about the amount of trickery and deception that happens is that same thing. But they'll throw that out there. And all that does, all you know what Satan's goal is to divide. Whenever you see Satan start, whenever you see division start happening, know that Satan trying to get in there. Whenever you see, you got to even see it even in your home, a husband and a wife. When they see that division starting to creep in there, somebody's got to call out and say, whoa, that's just Satan. He's trying to divide. Even if it's in a friendship, I've got two great friends, and there's probably been a moment or two in our life where we got to stop and go, whoa, Satan's trying to get in here, boys. Let's rally around this thing and keep him out. Why? Because I know you're God. You know I'm God. God doesn't separate like that. It's a oneness. It's a true oneness. Brother Childers even yelled that out at my reception. He said, there's no divorce in the eighth day. It's a oneness. And what he was getting at, he wasn't talking about earthly things. He was talking about spiritual things. Once you tie yourself into this thing, once you become one with this, there's no separation. Amen. Don't let anything pull you apart. Not principalities, not this, not angels, demons, brings present or things to come, keep you away from the word of God. You got to look at that and say, whoa, Satan's trying to get in here. And identify it as what it is. Correct that spirit and move, squeeze him right out. See, these church people ain't not worth the squeeze. The juice ain't worth the squeeze on these church people out here. They don't have no God in them. They don't have no God in them. And I love reminding you that because there's got to be a manifestation. That's the key point there. There's got to be a manifestation. Just Jesus living in me doesn't do me any good if he doesn't do anything. Him just living here without doing anything does me no good. You ever move into a house and don't do anything? Does you no good. You move in, don't cut the grass. Does you no good. You move in, don't paint. Does you no good. You move in, don't clean up. Does you no good. Something's got to happen on the inside. It's got to be some evidence of ownership. Amen. Oh, there's houses that you drive around, you see them abandoned. If you move in a house and it still looks abandoned, it does you no good. And then see, the church world will have you thinking I'm talking about works. I'm not talking about works. There needs to be some kind of change for the love of the truth. When God's life is on the inside of there, it should just be evident. It should just be evident like every heartbeat. Oh, I know Jesus lives because he lives in me. I can see it for myself. I can see that. I amen the word of God regardless of what's going on in my life, regardless of what's happening, regardless of what I'm going through. If I'm picking boils off my skin, God is still God. If I'm at a promotion for a job, God is still God. Got a good car breaks down, God is still God. If my brakes freeze up and God hits a rock and I break and I can drive some more, God is still God. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. That doesn't change the fact that God is still God. Amen. And the Bible says, why halt you between two opinions? If God be God, then just serve him. Oh, my, my, my. He's real in here. He's real in here. There's no doubt about it that God lives in me. And if God lives in me, how did that happen? How did that happen? All that God was, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, he poured into us. Even over in Titus, it talks about how that Holy Spirit was poured out abundantly. See, I like that they threw that in there. God didn't just sprinkle me. He didn't just sprinkle me. Poured it out abundantly. Yeah, when you talk about abundantly, he gave me more than I needed. He gave me more than I needed. Even the Bible says I'm more than overcomers. We've got so much word. We got more than we need. God is just providing us with word upon word upon word upon. You know you've got support in here that you would have never gotten without this leadership. You got friends in here that'll keep you honest when the rest of the world won't keep themselves honest. And it's not even about just being good people, because that throws people off all the time. You know, a lot of times people first come to the church and go, oh my goodness, everybody's so sweet there. And then, you know, I hit their car with my door, and now some of them are sweet there. And then it just escalates. Right, yeah, most of them, then some of them, and then two of them, then just the sisters, and then now just the brother. Whenever I see that division, I know what's happening. I know it's Satan. It's just Satan, and they're trying to cause division. That's when we got to pull that much closer. We got to pull that much tighter. Say, you can't get in here. You can't get in here. I can't let you in. Why? Because I know how important it is to stoke that flame. Brother Branham even said, you can never overemphasize a revelation. So if you've got a revelation in there, I can't help you enough. I've been taught by the leadership in here. I can't help you enough. I can't give to it enough, because that's the most important thing. The revelation of the hour right now that we live in, the new birth, is the most important thing that's ever happened in your life. Yeah. It can never be overemphasized. The fact that Christ's life truly does live on the inside of you, that is what makes you eternal. Amen. That's the part of you that is eternal. All right. See, the church world has it all messed up, and I say that phrase all the time, but it's true. They don't have a clue what's going on. They can say, God is living in me, and then won't know how to reach God. Then won't know how to pray to God. See, I even love the Lord's Prayer. It says, our Father. Not my Father. See, that would be singular. No, it's a body. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's our Father. That's our Father. See, the church world has it as my Father, basically. They don't know where God is. They don't know where he's at. But that's our Father. That's in heaven. I come from heaven. That means I'm going back to heaven. Amen. See, the church world have you thinking that you can't get there, that you got to live this way, got to live that way. I can't help it. If I have a bad lifestyle, I'm still going. If I have a bad attitude, I'm still going to be there. None of those things affect the fact that I have a revelation. Amen. And I want to say this, because we don't condone, as a church, as a leadership, as we've been preached to, Brother Jeremiah, correct me if I say this wrong, we do not condone bad living. We don't. I want you to pay your bills on time. Be a good father. Be a good mother. Do this. There's rules. There are truly rules. You get up here and your kid's up here acting crazy, somebody needs to whoop them. If you can't do it, somebody else needs to whoop them, and then you need a whooping. That's I've seen it. I've seen it. Because you can't be disturbing the service. Why? Because it's the most important thing. They need to understand that that's the most important thing. You need to understand that that's the most important thing. That's just leadership. That's just how it works. But the church world, even people that walk away go, well, they just let you live any old kind of way. No. They let you do whatever you need to get the job done. And if you're truly doing your job, I want you to have all the tools to get the job done. Amen. If you're truly just focused about what the job really is, then do whatever you need to do to get the job done. If you need somebody to help you walk through this life, get somebody to help you to walk through this life so you can get the job done. Right. That's as simple as that. That's just common sense. Why would I have you here miserable when you can get the job done? Just get the job done. And the church world will have you, oh, well, that means you can do this. No, you're putting all that on there. Right. I never said that.
I didn't say break the law. I didn't say do anything illegal. I said get the job done. And then you still got to have counsel. You still got a boss. Right. Oh, I'm just a co-worker beside you saying, yeah, get the job done. Right. But you better check in with your boss, bub. Amen. Yeah, he told me to do this, but you go into the office and talk to him for yourself. Right. Because a lot of times what he tell Brother Jeremiah ain't what he told me. Right. What he told Brother Don Deskins to do in his house ain't probably what he told me. What he told Brother John to do, he probably didn't tell me. But we both heard a word from the boss, so we both were all okay. Right. I'm down the line doing what he told me to do. You're on the line doing what he told you to do, and we're getting the job done. Amen. I'm keeping my eyes on my work. You keep your eyes on your work. We get an opportunity to come in here and fellowship. This is our lunch break, so to speak. Amen. I come in here and just relax. Amen. I can let my hair down, sit down, take the shoes off, and just say, woo! We've been out there doing some good work. We've been handling what God asked us to do. Amen. We've been meeting who we need to meet, blessing who we need to bless, giving eternal life to who we need to give eternal life to. We've been doing the good works of God. Church world, I have you thinking it's building a hospital, doing this, doing that, doing cake sales, bake sales, doing that ain't God's job right now. That's not the job he's doing right now. And I can say that because God ain't never asked me to do that. So that's not my job right now. Now, if Pastor Moore came in here, let me show you how this works, and said, we need to do a bake sale. Yeah. We're going to raise some money for this church down the street. Sure. Guess what I'm going to start doing? Baking some cakes. Because God said. Right. See how that's leadership? Amen. I don't put God in a box. No. I don't tie him down and say he can't. Because you know why I don't put God in a box? Because I don't want him in a box when I need something.
Right.
See, y'all, you limit God. You limit how he can even help you. By your traditions, you make the word of God of none effect. I want my God to be limitless. When I made my bed in hell, I want him to be able to come down and get me. I don't want him to be so holy he can't walk through the precinct. I want him to be able to come and bail me out. I want him to be able to not judge me and say, you know you could do better, but let's get out of here and get to the house. It's almost time for church. That's the kind of God I serve. That's what I want to be able to see. Why? Because I should know no man after the flesh, and we should all be serving God together. Right. As a joint thing, as a harmonious thing. This should be a body ministry. Yeah. That's how this thing works. Yeah. Oh, Brother Branham even said, he said, how many people are getting it? And not a lot of them got it. But there's a lot of people getting it tonight. There's people that understand who they are. There's a group of people that understand that their Redeemer lives in them. Yes. Jesus Christ lives in me. Oh, that takes, see, the church world has him around you or near you or walking with you. Jesus, God lives in me. God lives in me. I don't want God on the outside. He can't do me no good on the outside. Matter of fact, they said he's on the outside knocking. He can't. That's what he's doing. He's here on the inside now. He's on the inside here. He's living out through me, doing all that he needs to do. If I'm here 70 years, 80 years, 100 years, it don't matter. I'm going to do the will of God right now. That's my job right now. Let's push this message forward, get the debt up. That's my only job. That's my job for this hour. See, some people don't even know that God has jobs for them to do. They've never heard from God. And we get the blessing and the benefit to hear from God every single service. Brothers and sisters, we're a blessed group. We hear from God every service, and there's something on the inside of us that just says amen to the truth. And don't ever diminish that love for the truth. To always feed that flame. Because you know what? I've been on like a vacation, right? That takes me away from a Wednesday to a Sunday. And you're gone, the two services, Satan starts working on you. Yeah. He'll start working on you. He'll be like, well, I want my first service back to be a Sunday. I don't really want, Wednesday, kind of the middle of the week. I want to come in. Right? He'll just work on you. He'll start giving you dumb lies. He'll start, well, and then you know what? The people probably, they probably think I've walked away anyway. So maybe, I'm just telling you what he says. You've heard him. Anybody that's been away for two services, you know I'm telling you the truth. That flame starts to dim a little bit. Now the thing about this is that we're running on a gas light. This is a pilot light. So that flame is always there. You just need to turn it up. You got to turn it up sometimes. Now, I didn't want to say wood because that can go out. You know that. This is gas. So that pilot light stays lit. But you just got to turn it up sometimes. Sometimes you got to turn that main burner up sometimes. Sometimes you need to log into live stream when you don't want to. Let God talk to you a little bit when you're just sitting around doing nothing. Won't you get to open up a Brother Branham book a little bit? Just to stir it up a little bit. Give God something to work with a little bit. You're sitting there anyway. Now Brother Warren, they got it to where they got an app where you can just listen to Brother Branham. You ain't even got to read it. Just press the app and it can play it. You can hear him talk it out. But I'm just saying, just let God give him something to work with. If this is truly what you love, give him something to work with. Oh, well, in the dating phase and marriage phase, I love my wife. You know what? I'm looking for things that's just something to work with. I'm looking at restaurants. I'm reading reviews. If I want to take her to dinner, I don't just look at McDonald's and think at the menu. I'm thinking, oh, where else could we go? What else could we do? I'm looking at it the whole day. What can we do? I love her. I'm thinking about it the whole day. I'm planning it out, putting some effort in it. I'm thinking about it. Is the church the same way? What song could I sing like Brother Skyler? Hey, Brother Caleb, I was just thinking of this song. Just give him something to work with. Just give him something to work with. I'm not saying go read all 66 books of the Bible. I'm just saying, won't you get a text or something? Won't you just open up one of the scriptures from Sunday night or maybe one of the scriptures from Wednesday and just look it over a little bit and say, man, they stopped at 17, but look at it, verse 18. I didn't even know it said that. Look at verse 19. Just give God something to work with. I mean, you got so much word that comes across your path. Give him something to work with. You'll be surprised at how God can move in there. You've seen people even, that's even why I love looking at Thessalonians. It says, comfort one another with these words. That's a scripture. It's in the Bible. That helps me out. That's how it should be on every little thing. You should give God something to work with. That's what we come in here for. We come in here, just let our hair down and give God something to work with. That's all we do. We just give him something to work with. We come in here and our body's just a living sacrifice. And he said, that's a reasonable. Yes. The least you can do. That's your reasonable service. Amen. Just give him something to work with. Because God's been too good to us. Amen. Too good to us. And he's just been too good to us with the word, with the friends, with the support, with the ministry. You've got the best ministry that exists. Amen. They love you so much beyond. You see that sacrifice by them? You've got the best song leaders that exist. You've got the best testimonies that exist. You've got the best group of believers that exist. Who else knows what it is? Who else has this balance? Who else loves you when you can't love yourself? Who else picks you up when you want to go down? Who else holds you to the line when you're getting out of line? Who else loves you enough to tell you the truth? See, that's the difference between friends and parents. A parent, I have to tell you the truth no matter what. So those wishy-washy friends won't tell you the truth sometimes. No, a real friend and a real parent, they'll tell you the truth no matter what. If your hair licks the devil, like Pastor Moore says, tell you the truth. He's got to tell the truth. And there's people, and I know it happens, that he knows that when he's telling them the truth, that they're going to walk out. And it hurts him. He said it. He said it tears him up. But he still has to tell them the truth. Because beside that person that's walking out, beside that person that doesn't believe, is a believer that's sitting there saying, I'm only here for the truth. I overcame this. I overcame that. To get here to hear the word of God, I need the truth. And I need it now. That's what we came here for. That's why we come to church. It's for the truth. And the truth is set you free. Amen. See, and that's why if I hear somebody putting bondage on me, I know I got too much truth. I got too much truth. You can't put chains on me now. I got too much truth. You can't put me in a crate now. I got too much truth. I know what freedom is now. I know what it's like to just truly serve God because I want to. I know what it's like to love God because I love God. Nobody's making me love God. No, I have not been in desperate enough situations where I had to love God. I just love God because of who he is. Oh, my. See, there's people that love God out of fear. I don't love God out of fear. I just love God. Oh, Sister Renee was talking about even an abusive relationship. There's people that do stuff in abusive relationships just because they're afraid of the abuse. God is not abusing me. He is loving me and loving me and loving me. He's giving me more than I asked for. He's waiting at my every bated breath to give me anything I ask for. And if I can't love a God like that,
You don't deserve God.
That's
why I love coming into the house. I love being surrounded by believers because it just does something for me to see other people that love God. That's why I can cheer for the young people when I see them want to raise their hand. I'm like, I know what it's like. I know what you're going through. You're basically pushing through a mountain to get that hand up. Nobody else, you're going through. You got mental things. You got this. You got school. You got people. You got ideas. And you got to just push through and say, but God is still God.
Amen.
When they come through and say, listen to your parents, and you got to go, but they do this, they do that, but God is still God. When we come in here and we sit down and the word corrects us, God is still God. When we sing and maybe we don't sing this right or that right, God is still God. See, we get too much preaching, Brother Jeremiah. You get too much word to let too many problems keep you down. It shouldn't. You know too much. Is God living on the inside of you? Let's start with that. That's our denominator. Is God living on the inside of you? If he is, then we should be able to overcome anything the devil throws at us. That's why the quote can say there's no divorce in the eighth day. And that's why it even says that it let the unbeliever depart. Why would the unbeliever need to depart? Because the believer knows that with God, we can do all things. See, the children of Israel got in trouble and they said, can God? No, God can. God can do anything. You know that. Matter of fact, even over in the token, and I'm going to close here a second. Over even in the token, it talked about how there was that blood sacrifice over the door for the children of Israel. There's still a blood sacrifice over us. And God, all the children, they were people. The people of Israel, the people of Egypt, they were people. That wasn't the difference maker. It was that there was a token that was applied to them. We have a token that's been applied to us. It's not actual blood. Spiritual, that we believe the word of God. That Holy Ghost is coming quick in that seed, that germ seed of us, and made that life anew. That's our token. That's our proof that we're bought and paid with a price that God wants us. He's come back to claim that which he's already redeemed. I thank God that I have an understanding. I thank God that I have a revelation on this thing. I thank God that the token's been applied. I don't need to go back and get another fare to make it paid. I don't got to go back and add it up. I don't got to pay anything. God's already paid it all for me, and he's taken care of it, and I'm going to go back to God where I come from. See, all these things tie together, and I just thank God for a revelation of it, because without this revelation, I'd be all miserable. I'd be every wind and doctrine would turn me up. Every problem would turn me around. Every family issue would twist me up. But I can come in here, get some sanity. That's all we do, Brother Warren, to get our head turned back around so we can sit still long enough to hear the word of God. That's what it does. That's when it corrects you. It helps get you to sit still so you can hear the word of God. Let all those problems just fall away. Praise God that we know our Redeemer lives. You know, Easter is not just a story. And I even love how Brother Jeremiah even said, he said, you know, praise God for Christmas. Praise God that Jesus was born too. I praise God that he was born and he had a life. Praise God that he died. But I praise God that he got up. And that doesn't stop. The story don't stop there. I praise God that he's here living in me. I praise God that he's alive forevermore. That's where we can really get the enjoyment out of the story. My Redeemer truly does live. Lives in me. And we're part of God's all eternal life. God bless you, Brother Jeremiah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Nothing but the truth. I like this question. How do you know you're going to heaven? That's a great revelation to have. That brings peace. That brings joy. And he answered it. You know, there's a lot of scriptures you can use to say how I know I'm going to heaven. But you do got to come from God in order to go back to God. And he went on and he said, you got to be born again. And that's the proof that you came from God and you're going back to God. But I'm glad to know I come from God and going back to God. I'm glad to know that I loved him and that he saw me love him, that he saw me want his word, and I was going to amen his word, and he gave me a predestinated seed. That brings me peace, because now I know I'm saved by grace through faith. That of any works that I can do, that Jesus really paid it all.
Amen.
Because I have days where I look at myself and say, Lord, help me.
Right.
And if I didn't have a strong revelation, I would say, I'm not worthy to go to heaven because I'm not good enough to go to heaven.
Amen.
But then on the other side of the coin, I am perfect. I'm spotless.
Amen.
I'm sinless. Because I've been born again.
Amen.
God's own life, that perfect life, is my life.
That's right.
That's the life I have. And so I know my Redeemer lives. And you're so right, Brother James. Job's story gets me excited, but it doesn't stop there. I love being able to talk about how Job was going through his trial and saw the trees and the plants. That gets me excited. But the real exciting thing, I get excited that Jesus resurrected, because that's the centerpiece of it all, that Jesus paid the price and resurrected.
Amen.
But the greatest thing can happen is when I can see God right here.
Amen.
That's when Brother Branham preached in the rising of the sun. He talked about that rising of the sun, but he's resurrected in our lives right here.
Amen.
God's alive right here.
Amen.
It's that one. It's the same God, not a different God. The same God's alive, living in you and me.
Amen.
This is where he wants to be. He's happy to dwell here.
Amen.
And always wanted to be. And you know, we've all probably been listening here and there to some of Brother Moore's messages, but that's what he was preaching about that on one of them, how God wanted to become one with man.
Amen.
It really is that simple. We can complicate it. We can make it hard to understand. But the great God that was Elohim, that was a spirit, he didn't want to stay that way. He wanted to get down and put flesh around him and have fellowship. And he has that tonight.
Amen.
And you and me. And he's using you and me. And that's like you said, Brother James, God wants something to work with. And you got to give him something. Because as we've been taught well here, and I've gotten more information on, a stronger understanding, is God really doesn't make you do anything. You got to push. You got to be willing to step out. And, you know, you look at your examples right here, because one of the messages Brother Moore was talking to the young people over there, and he was preaching from his heart because he knew he started serving God when he was young. And he was even saying how you've got to step out. You got to give God something to work with. How he didn't know how to play piano. But he saw it available. And he went up and, you know, just started playing with one finger. And now he's a really, really good piano player. Listen to Sister Dawn. John said, get up and play piano. I asked her to. You know, he didn't really make her. But I don't know how to play. He thought she knew how to play. She didn't really know how to play, is what she'll tell you. She yielded to God, gave it to God. Brother Dustin would tell you, he doesn't like being in front of people. But what's he doing? He's leading song service. And oh, behold, now he can't hardly let a service go by that he's not testifying. You got to start somewhere, right? And it's not that everybody's going to be preachers or everybody, but Brother Moore went on. He said, and then somebody said, you know, Brother Moore would make a good song leader. He saw the need. So he stepped up and started song leading. And then he said, talked about how one time Brother Joseph said, well, I'm going to get your brothers up, let you guys exhort a little bit. Next thing you know, he did that. And it's not that everybody has to be a preacher, but yield to God. You know, God's obviously asking Brother Skyler to lead some songs. So, you know, I'll just tell you how I think a little bit, but not, you don't need to be like me. Well, I see a bass. I see a guitar. Maybe I should learn how to play guitar. Maybe I should learn how to play bass because I see an opening. I want to do something for God. And God will give a gift. He's got to help you too. But the point being is you got to step out. You got to yield. You got to give. Because that's, where's God at? He's not trying. Is he a spirit? He's still a spirit tonight. He's still a quickening power spirit. He can still do a miraculous thing in that spirit form if that's what he wants to do. But you know where God's emphasis is and where he's really working? Right here in flesh. That's what he wants. That's what he's always wanted. And so we are the temple of the living God. So I enjoyed that, Brother James. Keep the brothers in your prayers. You know, I've been on those trips, whether it be for preaching or whether it be for work. And when the work is done and you're going back to that airport, there's a feeling of, I can take a breath and you're ready to be home and you just start relaxing. I could see the picture that got sent today. I could see that all over their look. And so I know they're happy to be traveling home. So let's pray and believe that God will get them home safely. They should be home tomorrow evening, so we're excited about that. On the way of some other announcements, we try to start announcing a little bit more often now. On April 29th, which is a Saturday, we've got a men's fellowship. So to give you a little background here, because you know, I kind of laugh at it sometimes, because we just break, I think we break all kinds of people's traditions. We go bowling sometimes, and then we're having a men's breakfast, and people would almost look at that like you're like a denomination or not. But you know, we're not a denomination. I'm just saying, people just would look sometimes, and if they didn't know us, they would think we're just awful, I guess. But anyhow, we're having a men's breakfast because we want a fellowship.
Right.
And what happened is that this past Christmas, my son was on Christmas break, and I just wanted to fellowship my friends. I thought, well, they have sons. I'm just going to get a breakfast. Let's go out and bring our sons, and let's just have a good time and fellowship a little bit. And of course, Brother Moore heard about it, so he showed up. And so he just got this idea, we should do this with the brothers. We should do this. Hence, we got this, and then we got one for the sisters. So we're just going to have fellowship. That's all it is. Good to get together. We'll serve some breakfast. It's going to be at 9 o'clock, April 29th, for the brothers. And that's going to be here in the back of the church. And then on this following Saturday, May 6th, the sisters are invited to get together, and they're going to do that at the main house, Brother James and Sister Courtney's business down in downtown. They're going to actually use that area to fellowship. So keep those things in mind if you can make it. It'll be a good thing. You don't even, as James said, the food will be supplied, the napkins will be supplied, wow, the utensils will be supplied. You just got to show up and enjoy and have some good fellowship. So keep those things in mind. And yes, Sister Crystal. Give her a microphone, somebody, please.
Thank you, Brother Jay and Brother Jeremiah and Pastor Moore and Brother Doug being over in the Philippines. I have continued to learn so much, and without the body, I would be lost. God lives in me, and I was thinking about the young people when Sister Renee talked about, you know, the challenges that they have to go through. But I want to give flowers. I want to give flowers to the young people because I am so inspired by you all. You know, the world out there is so chaotic, and you have to have God in your life. But also want to give flowers to the parents because you all continue to go through this journey, and with the love that we have from our pastor and from one another, it also allows you to instill the love, the truth for your young people. And I also want to give flowers to Brother Dwayne and Sister Michelle, as well as Brother Jeremiah and Brother Jay. I've seen you work with the young people, and I thank you. I thank you so much for all that you have done.
Amen.
Okay.
All right. God bless you, Sister Crystal. You know, James preaches about sometimes, I can say this now at my age, you know, we would sing with the young people when we were 18, 19, 25, and we were flesh. You know, you're 25, you're singing with 13 years old, you're like, well, I could be doing something different. But you know what? We knew it was needed. And I mean that from my heart. It wasn't, that almost sounds bad, because we love one another. But I'm just saying there's a human side, because, you know, just like the teenagers, oh, I don't know if I want to lift my hands, but yield to God, and He'll bless you. And these 43 years olds will keep doing the job as long as we need to. But I'd love for somebody to come and lead the songs with these young kids, you know. The job interview's open. But until then, you know what? I'll do it until I'm 60. Because I believe I'll do it until it needs to be done. Because the work needs to be done. Come on, musicians. I need to stop talking. I get myself in trouble. Oh. Yes, sir.
Well, thank God for being here. God does move a lot. You know, I got the chance to listen to Pastor Moore in the Philippines. And, you know, see how God works. One of his preaching was, you know, the simplicity. And God wanted to be a man. He did. And, you know, just hearing these messages, you know, you complicate everything. And, you know, why would God want to be a man? Well, that's what he wanted. You know, he wanted to enjoy this life. You know what I mean? And, you know, I don't want to take that for granted. I don't. I mean, I want to appreciate that God is using this body. He is. And we are the only light that this world is going to ever going to see. You know what I mean? And I do appreciate that. I do. I don't want to take it for granted. I mean, this world is everything. And, you know, like we said, the world is crazy, but you know what? We got to rest. We got to rest here, and it just means everything. It does. This place is just, it's gold. It really is. And I just thank God for just having this place, and that's all I really want to say.
Appreciate Brother Kevin. He is hung in there.
Amen.
He who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Kevin's showing he's gonna endure to the end. And he testifies now that his words means something. They helped me, so I appreciate you, Brother Kevin. Victory is mine, page 30 in the course book, key of G. Victory, that sound, what was that, G?
Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan to get me behind him. Victory today is mine. Yes, joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today is mine. I don't think that to get me behind me. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Yes, I told Satan to get thee behind me. Victory today is mine. You're dismissed. Amen.